Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to the September 12th Friday edition of the J&J Show. Hope everybody's having a good Friday so far. Hopefully it'll be a smooth one. Got plenty to talk about. My goodness, especially in the way of news. National Guard is on the way, officially, per President Trump. Two members. Charlie Kirk's suspected killer is identified in Utah, taken into custody. That's breaking. That news is out there now. We had iShow Speed here yesterday. Just a streaming phenomenon. One of the biggest streamers in the world. Had a perfectly safe and enjoyable time. Looked like in the M yesterday. John wrote a great column about it over at DailyMemphian.com. If you haven't read it, I suggest that you do so. And Green Bay. Boy, did they look pretty good.
Oof.
Looked like at least the second best team in the NFC with that win. I know the Commanders got some trash points late. Didn't really matter. But 27-18. And you push them back. Green Bay pushes itself up. And that was pretty impressive. And one more thing real quick. This morning I had a post by my dad. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that's reached out with love. He's been lifted up by Memphis right now. And I appreciate that. He's in day four in the hospital. Got a procedure this afternoon. And we'll keep you updated as best I can, but I cannot thank, overwhelmed with the love, especially with everything that Memphis has got going on. Again, for the love for my dad, who's on day four in the hospital, but hopefully things are going to get better. My faith is in God, but again, thank you, Memphis. I'd be remiss if I didn't stop things and say that.
Absolutely, man. We're definitely thinking of Les and praying for you and your family. And
thank you
through these very trying times. But he's back home. You know, he's getting care here. You know, and you have to, you know, kind of find the positives, right?
Absolutely. We've been working on that the whole time. God is good. He returned him to us.
That's
we had
right.
prayed for that. There was no guarantee of that. Dad had been down in Belize for 10+ years. Made a couple of visits.
Yeah.
But hadn't been up here in a couple of years. And there was a chance he wasn't going to make it back up here. It was a heck of a day-long journey last Friday to get back up here. They had to roll him to us in a wheelchair. That's how tough, how, you know, physically the shape he was in. But he is here. Point being, you talk about positive moments. That was it. God had answered our prayers, and my brother and my prayers in terms of returning him home to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And getting the best care in the United States of America here in Memphis. So we will certainly keep Les in our thoughts and prayers.
Appreciate that.
You know, now and... And
dude, we got so much going on. It's crazy.
Yeah, most definitely. We got a lot to get to on the show today. Anthony Sain's going to join us at 11:25. Talk to him about everything that's going on in the city of Memphis. I'm sure he's got some thoughts on Speed Stream yesterday. And then at 1:25, Parthi Pajai is going to join us. Memphis added a big man yesterday. And I went through, and his name is Tark Ingram. And... he's, you know, 6'9", 6'10", big, was spent last year at Rider. I think most of his career has actually been at Rider, if I'm not mistaken, but certainly last year. And I went through, because I don't really care what he does against, like, Canisius and Quinnipiac, you know, that's not going to translate.
Right.
I went through each of his 3 years, the last 3 years, and every time he played in a Power 4 opponent, because that's what's like, all right, that's what's going to be at Memphis, right? Like, you're going to have to produce against those kinds of teams. And basically what I found is that he averaged about 7.2 and 5 rebounds a game against Power 5 competition, which is honestly, to be getting a guy like that in September is mm-hmm. pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not terrible. You know, seems like with Memphis's front court situation and the shape that it's in, that he's going to contend for that starting four spot.
Well, I don't think you bring him in here and bump somebody if you didn't think so.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're Penny Hardaway,
he's like finally, you know, the true four man, or five man even. You want to play Aaron Bradshaw at the four, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
which is where he apparently feels more comfortable.
Yeah, like this is the guy that gives you that option. And so finally, you know, you add a big body here late. He got his waiver. He apparently was working with Memphis throughout the throughout the entire process, and whenever that did go through, you know, it was going to be a Memphis thing, and it did, and now he's headed to Memphis. So we'll talk to Parthu Padhyay about this addition. You know, certainly, even though Sean Williams told us he was impressed by a rope. I don't know if you caught that little nugget.
No. Yeah.
He said he was in practice the other day, and that a rope impressed him. So, I mean, that's Sean Williams now, man. I mean, that ain't just.
We hadn't gotten a chance to feel him out yet, and whether he says that about everyone.
Right.
We're just starting to get to know Sean again.
That's exactly right.
But hopefully it means something, John, for this team and for this season.
But anyway, Parthu Padhyay will join us at 1:25. So that is the show today. A couple of things. I'm just going to work sort of chronologically here. Wrote about Speed Stream yesterday. I kept watching the stream. We couldn't really know what was being said, you know, because we were doing our show. So we couldn't listen to the stream. A funny little tidbit is that he didn't know who Jaren was. Like, Ja had to introduce him. Like, this is my guy, Tripp. This is my dog. Like, Speed did not know who Jaren Jackson Jr. was. Jaren Jackson Jr. also told Speed to be safe in his travails around Memphis. As did, I guess the Fox 13 cameraman didn't tell him to be safe, but he asked him if he was scared to be in Memphis. And that, of course, is when Speed got into his car and said it was the weirdest question he's ever been asked,
mm-hmm.
that somebody would push that narrative about their own city as a representative of the city.
Right.
You know, he said this is a regular city.
Glad you said that it was the cameraman. A lot of people have said it was the reporter. It looked to me like it was the cameraman.
Yeah, it was the cameraman, which, you know, I mean, I suppose for that reporter, it matters, right? Because she doesn't want to be designated as having been the one that asked the question, which is fair. I would not want to be tagged with that either, because it's kind of like you're leading a narrative, no question, when you ask somebody that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the cameraman would say, well, the National Guard is coming to Memphis, you know. I mean, why wouldn't you be scared when you come to Memphis? But, you know, I just don't, like, you have a choice, right? You have a choice in terms of the questions that you ask somebody. And sure. You know, he took it there, and Speed did not appreciate it. He didn't even appreciate it when Jaren said it, to be honest. When Jaren told him to be safe, he kind of bucked up. He was like, why does everybody keep telling me that? Why does everybody keep telling me to be safe in Memphis? Which I think, you know, folks, good time to maybe look in the mirror, because this is a 20-year-old kid who probably doesn't know nothing from nothing. He has no preconceived notions about anywhere that he goes. Like, we're picking a place on a map, we're going, and he never felt scared. Now, he's got a couple security guards, I will say, but it ain't like he's got, you know, they're not all wearing bulletproof vests or, you know, they're going downtown. You know, they're walking through crowds. And this kid just said Memphis is a regular city, just like anywhere else he's been. So I thought perceptionally that was a massive victory for the city of Memphis. We talked about it yesterday. But I think just as he ended his night, he went to Silky O'Sullivan's, did karaoke. I was still watching, man. I'm like, man, this is just like, I get a kick out of this, man. I mean, I was like, man, please just don't let this go left at the end of the night, man. Just please let this continue to be a positive thing. And I got to say, Jason, by all accounts, man, it looked like it was a great day for Speed in Memphis.
Yeah, it was refreshing to see. I liked your column. Thought it was loved that you pointed out sort of where we had been, particularly from a you know, sort of national perspective, with what's using Stephen A's comments and how the city had been painted just with that. We've had the, you know, president now ring in and everything else. Obviously, you've got the National Guard on the way. But I love that. You know, that perception of Memphis, yes, a negative one nationally, needs help with the crime issue, whatever else, but that we got a full day, right, where a guy had a great time here. We got that perception out there about our city as well, and I think that's what we appreciated so much about him being here, right?
100%.
It felt like he was all over the city.
Yeah.
Went and got his hair twisted up, too, it looked like, like while he was here. So, and I don't know if you saw, but at Cozy Corner, he gave an older woman, I think she was celebrating her birthday, gave her $100. You know, just spreading love.
Yep.
But more importantly, I think it goes back to what you said. When he got in that car and he talked about, you know, yeah, Memphis is more lit than Nashville. We love that. We love to hear that. But I thought it was the response to the question. Listen, guys, I get it. There's a way you can ask that question, and I get being offended that someone who lives here or works here asks the question that way, do you feel scared?
Right.
But it also opened up the possibility to get the answer.
100%.
In asking the question.
Yes.
If you just ask a normal question, we don't get.
Yeah.
And I'm not, believe me, I felt the same way you all did. Come
right.
on, man.
Right.
Like, there's a way to phrase that
still.
Right? But I love the answer. And if that question's not asked the way it is,
right.
we don't get the answer, the response that
right.
helps us
no,
combat
that's true.
This negative perception of Memphis. Now, again, we're talking on a day where Trump's got the National Guard coming in.
He does.
Mayor's kind of backed up into a corner because you're in a red state and you need the state's help. He's talked about if you're going to send something, hey, we love the support. We really need resources, whatever. National Guard's on the way. We get it about our city.
But that's more of a political move.
I'm going to go back to, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, as opposed to rooted in like actual data. And
yes, but we also acknowledge that we have a serious crime issue.
For sure.
And again, look at the timing of the city's. Of the city putting out, 25%
yes.
crime drop?
We
talked about. We can go through these numbers.
Right.
You know, and maybe some of them are, you know, you're trying to optically push out this idea that we need the National Guard. And I don't think we do. I'll put it out there. No. So we can do the political thing with this decision. Point is, this was refreshing to have him here for a full day, pumping out nothing but positive about Memphis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
And your
column hit the nail on the head.
Well, I appreciate it. I was glad to write it and shine a light positively. Speed, you know, mostly thanks to what Speed did. So, we got to keep getting because his audience is young kids, man. Like, they're teenagers. They're young adults. They're not you and me or Brad or 25 to 54-year-olds who are listening to this. They're even younger. And so one day those kids are going to be 20, 21, 22, 23, they're going to be going around. They're going to be saying, hey, where should we go? Where should we visit? Hey, man, remember when Speed fell up into Memphis, man? He had such a great time. And remember when he went to the piano bar and sang Kanye West and, you know, the barbecue and, you know, all the spots he hit? You know, like, it will be if it makes even a 1%, you know what I'm saying, change, it was a great day for Memphis yesterday. So I take those small wins, bro. We don't turn down small wins over here.
Well, it wasn't just a national perception. I mean, he's worldly. He had the China phone up, and
yeah.
you know, they're watching him over there. So again, a positive perception of Memphis beamed out for basically a 24-hour period. Nice to have when everything seems to be going about our city the other way. That said, it's why so many of us are, you know, and I use the phrase all the time: roll our sleeves up. We're not going anywhere. We're here. We want to see it better because we know how good we are. We're working class people, you know, that. Again, have pushed through so much already. We'll push through this. And, yesterday in many ways was a good day.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of seeing a bright light shone on Memphis.
Absolutely. So that was yesterday in Memphis. And then, of course, last night on Thursday Night Football, you know, I was talking to one of my friends. They're like, man, if this was a pay-per-view, I'd probably have to buy it, man, just because, you know, it's Jaden Daniels, it's Jordan Love, it's two up-and-coming NFC, I mean, it's two potentially top five NFC teams. You know, this is just such a slobber knocker of a game, and it really wasn't close. I mean, I know that the Commanders had a chance there at the end to maybe cover the number, but it was not whatsoever. I mean, at any point, was it 17-3 at the half? Now, I mean, look. You got to say, the Commanders missed some field goals that maybe could have changed the dynamic of the game. But, you know, you're talking about what? Long, you know, 55, 58, 60 yarders. I mean, it just never felt like the Commanders were truly in that game. And honestly, Jason, didn't even feel like the Packers played that well. Felt like they could have played even better than they did because there was a couple of red zone drives where they had to settle. And here's the rub, and here's how I bottom line it. I mean, their Super Bowl odds are all the way down to 7-1. I mean, I think they're, and this is on a night when Micah Parsons is only playing 50% or less of snaps. You know, they've announced themselves as Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, over 400 total yards and held Washington and made the NFC Championship game to 230. And a lot of that was in junk time and garbage time. They were dominant for stretches of that game. Micah Parsons was doing what we said. He's ramping up. Looked a lot better than he did week one. Getting in the quarterback, what, he get a half sack? But he was back there. And he was throughout the game. Now, again, he's on a limited snap count, but they're being smart with him, with the investment that they've made, and especially considering that that back is clearly, at least from reports, not 100%. Green Bay looked the part.
Mm-hmm.
You wondered how much of the first win over Detroit was the Lions taking a step back. I don't think we wonder anymore when you make a team like the Commanders last night. Now, Eckler went down, and that's big for them. He's out for the season, it looks like. But you made them look simple.
Mm-hmm.
They could have piled on more. At the end, you know, you got to convert a couple of more first downs. You're salting that game away. You had total control. 17-3 going into the fourth quarter. They had complete control of that game. And, you corrected me yesterday. You correctly. Philly's still for now up at the top, right? Yeah, you're right. They are. But Green Bay has solidified itself, cemented it as the two right now, with a chance to show that they're better than Philly later this regular season.
Well, what I would tell you is that they have now passed Philly. In the odds, at least.
That's odds.
You know, I mean, just in terms of what people, you know, believe about them and the ceiling, you know.
I'd still stop short of that. Philly did it without Jalen Carter week one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, if they beat Kansas City, it'll flip again. You know, it'll go back to Philly is the favorite in the NFC. But right now it's Bills, Ravens, Packers, Eagles, Chiefs in that order in terms of the odds market.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then, I mean, if the Chiefs are able to win on Sunday against Philly, I think you'll see their odds take a big jump as well. Just because, you know, they're not even fully healthy. You got to remember, too, they're getting back Rashee Rice in 5-6 weeks. So that will be a huge boost. I mean, their offense is not whole by any stretch of the imagination. It will be come playoff time. And I do think that's a very important thing to remember. Even if the Chiefs start 0-2, which, I mean, they're favored to do.
They're staring at it.
Yes. They can still finish this season, you know, what, 10-7? And even if it's a wild card, get in and make a run that way.
Again, and Jalen Carter's presence on that defensive line and the game record that he is will help those corners, help where Philly showed, hey, that week one was rough for them. So you getting a rush helps everyone. That's a Philly team, I think. Again, you have to still have number one based on what they've done and what they won without last week.
Yeah, absolutely. So weird game from Jaden Daniels. I don't think I've ever seen him look that flustered. Like, it just didn't look good for him.
It looked uncomfortable because Green Bay was able to keep some pretty consistent pressure on.
Yeah, I thought the stat was, I think Micah Parsons and Reggie White are the only two players to have. Like, I don't remember exactly what the number of sacks was, but maybe it's like 12-plus a year for their first four.
It's not different than what the DB said, the Colts DB that played for the Dolphins said about Tua in terms of trying to hit the first guy in the progression, getting it out quickly. They did that to Jaden last night. And your man, Ruiz, yesterday,
mm-hmm.
he's got it in his quarterback, you know, rankings about Jaden Daniels. That's the next step for him, is going through the progressions, not bailing out after the first guy's in open.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Green Bay was able to do with him. He's still just a second-year dude. I know it was a fantastic run last year, but it was also pretty miraculous. And so he's still got significant weaknesses. That's what Green Bay capitalized, is his want to get it out quickly. When it's not there, though, and he's bailing, he played right into their hands.
Mm-mm.
He's got to slow down and be able to play from the pocket and go through those progressions.
Yeah.
Green Bay wasn't about to give him time to do that last night, not with Micah Parsons on the field.
That's exactly right. And so we'll see sort of how it looks for him over the course of the season. You're not going to play the Packers every week. That's the good news for the Commanders. I mean, they're a real Super Bowl team. It was there. You know, it's important to keep that in mind.
When is that Philly game for them? That's the one. I thought I kept hearing last night that they do get a chance to play Philly.
Oh, Packers?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, they got the Eagles, but it's on November 10th.
All right. You got time. Yeah.
That's going to be a showdown, maybe for home field.
Yeah, no doubt. That there will be a lot of stakes in that game. They knew what they were doing, man. They knew what they were doing when they scheduled that game so late in the season. No doubt about it. Gonna have a lot of. I assume that's gonna be a Sunday night game.
It's November. It's already a prime. What is November 10th?
Oh, is that a Monday?
Yeah, it's a prime timer. Is what it looks like.
Yeah,
it's a 7 p.m.
Yeah, it's
a Monday night.
Yeah, Monday night game. There you go. Smart.
Woo.
Yeah, it'll be a banger. That will be a banger, no doubt about it. All right, we'll come back. Anthony Sain's gonna join us. We'll talk to him about the speed stream yesterday, the Grizzlies, and more. Stick around, Jason and John. Are you trying to film? Yes.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN.
Anthony Sains, the host of the Anthony Sains Show on Bluff City Media. New episodes airing live every afternoon at 1. He is the underground king of Memphis sports media, the tribal chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, and father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sain. You can follow Sain on X at Sain Asylum. He joins us now like he does this time every Friday. We are grateful for it. Sain, how about yesterday? And did you get caught up in speed being here like we all did? I tell you what, I wasn't caught up at first because he was still on the bus in his drawers, and that's when I turned it off. But I let John monitor it the rest of the way, and I'm sure glad that he spent the day here with how positive a perception he was putting out to the rest of the nation about Memphis, but also the rest of the world, saying that man's in China.
You're on mute, Anthony.
My bad, y'all. Yeah, I can't really say that I was a big speed fan. He had been growing on me even before yesterday, though.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But I was deep into it, man. I did two things for the first time yesterday. I subscribed to iShow Speed's YouTube page, and I was a live chatter. I was a member of the chat, man, for the first time. When he said chat, I felt like he was talking to me, man, for the first time with iShow Speed. I thought it was really awesome, man. The way that the city has gotten so much negative press, continues to get negative press for someone. I don't think people really understand the level of who was in town yesterday, right? Like we just live in a different era. Like that would be the equivalent of, shoot, I don't really know, man. It would be like, I don't know. Like I guess back when we were younger, you had, you know, your TV stars or whatever. So I guess it would be on that type of level. But these streamers, the way that they cross so many different genres, man, it's almost like if your favorite TV star, favorite actor, and favorite musician combined together into one person. That's kind of the appeal that these streamers have. You know what I mean? Musicians come to streamers to help them promote their music. You know what I mean? That's the level of influence these guys have. And just to see him maneuvering through the city, doing things that we like to do ourselves, and just having a good time and enjoying the city, man, and the good things he had to say. I thought it was absolutely amazing. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was funny. I thought some of the things there were just heartfelt, man, just the way that the city embraced him. And just to see, like, even, like, people that are, you know, local celebrities, the way that they just – you could just see how they live outside of, you know, the professional cameras being on them, man. So I thought it was super dope, man. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I mean – you got to take the small wins, right? I mean, that might not even be a small win, but like you said, I mean, this is, and if you're an old person who's listening to this show right now, you're not going to get it. So it's going to sound like, you know, but this guy is the new wave, you know, like it might have been like, you know, Britney Spears at her peak, you know, like if she went to a city, man, like this dude was getting mobbed last night. They were following this guy everywhere, whether it was Bill, whether it was back to his bus, whether it was to the like they were showing up outside of bro, they were mobbed. Like, so he has real influence, you know, and like, you know, I was a little worried for Brother Junipers at the beginning of that stream. You know, the manager, she almost fumbled the bag a little bit. You know, I was a little worried, but this guy has real influence. So when he says, man, he rocks in Memphis, W Memphis. It's a good city. It's a fun city. I had a blast. Like, that could have real ripple effects in a positive way for the city.
Yeah, especially when he said, man, all the cities that y'all talk bad about are really good cities. Like, the city he was won over by the city. You know, that type of stuff matters, man, for sure. Like, I really enjoyed it. I was crying laughing at some of the stuff that he was doing. Like, when he started slicing in the pool, man, I was like, oh, I literally had tears running down my eyes watching that whole thing play out, man. But it's just so Memphis, man. You know, people checking him everywhere he goes. And, you know, little kids running up on him. And, like, it was dope, man. One dude, and, like, he was having trouble paying for one of the scooters, right? The scooter bikes, whatever. And so one dude was like, man, let me find out you broke, Speed. Like, it's just what Memphis is, man. The donuts. Then he was doing donuts on the Excite parking lot on America Way, man.
He said that was the highlight of his trip, by the way.
Yeah, I've seen people hit donuts on that parking lot, man. Like, that's, it's just Memphis stuff, bro. And he was like, we got to go on the other street where they be racing at. Like, that's a real thing. A lot of people don't know that there's a
Was that President's Island?
Memphis. Hey, they know your business. If you know, you know. There's a stream of people be racing.
My bad, bro.
It's like it was funny, man. It was. I really enjoyed it, bro. He shined a lot of positive light. Just seeing, and then just, man, Memphis is just a city, man, where it's like so many people who have heart, so many people have hustle, man. Like the lady who had the food place who pulled up on him with the food already ready. Like, this is my restaurant. Here goes the food. There's a car pulling off. She giving it to him. And, you know what I mean? It was just dope, man. I love. I didn't watch like a ton of it. I did watch it periodically throughout the day. It's one of those things you just kind of just pop on and look at. But it was dope, man. I really enjoyed it.
I think Ja has the same power as dude, potentially, right? I think Ja has that within him. We've seen it. But, you know, when he does a celly, it goes worldwide. I was watching Ja. I was watching Ja, you know, look at speeds, you know, numbers and the chat and everything.
Yeah.
And I just feel like he has that same, you know, speed doesn't do anything out of the, well, I guess we love where he goes, what he's built up to, and that just keeps on adding to itself now. So it, you know, it's the name selling itself for him now. It's just blown up. But I feel like Ja has that same power. Do you not? I mean, whether he's dropping a shoe or a celly, the things that come out of his mouth. And if Ja decided to walk through Memphis the same kind of way that Speed did and make something of it and go live and let's just be real, he's keeping it all positive on there and dropping $100 bills off to, and he's done that before. We've seen it in other, you know, in places. But I feel like he's got everything that Speed has and frankly has the potential to be just as big and just as influential. Yeah. Yes, especially here.
This city be even more. And like you said, man, like if I don't know if people saw that, you know, Ja dropped on Shot by Nas live stream the other day, right? And it was good. You know what I mean? We saw a version of Ja we haven't seen in a long time. Very uncut, very loose, very fun. He joked about his reputation on Instagram and all those type of things. And even yesterday, somebody said that Speed called Ja Wick in regards to the whole John Wick thing, and they said Ja just kind of laughed at it and they had fun about it or whatever. But I would love to see Ja do something like that. Like, I would much rather see Ja live streaming than being on social media, on Twitter and Instagram and all these type of things. I much rather see him doing something like that, because I thought the stuff he did the other day with Shot by Nav was really good.
I do
agree. If he popped up in the city and did these little pop up, you know, live streams like that, I think it would be something that could generate a lot of positivity.
Saw it at the MSEC when he dropped that shoe that day. It was nuts around him. Nuts.
I want to get your thoughts on just sort of the dichotomy of an outsider who comes in here really having no preconceived notions about the place versus sort of the things that we as a community say about ourselves. You know, we seem to, on the whole, I'm not saying everybody individually, but on the whole, I think there's a sort of defeatist attitude in the city of Memphis, that it may be even an energy investment into it not ever being what it can be. But here comes this 20-year-old kid who, you know, don't know nothing about nothing really, right? He's 20 years old, but he comes in and he has he can't stop raving about the place. And when a cameraman asks him, "Are you scared to be in Memphis?" When Jaren, a Grizzly, I was disappointed when Jaren even told him to be safe. He bucked at Jaren. He was like, "Why does everybody keep telling me this?"
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain the dynamic in somebody who comes here not really knowing anything about the city and loving the city? Because I feel like we hear that story all the time versus the people who live here and sort of who have the self-loathing.
Yeah, I thought I know that Jaren is the advocate for the city, right? So I know that I kind of took his as a joking, you know, whatever. Or just a kind of anecdotal be safe that people just kind of throw out to anybody. Because I've had people, you know, ask me why the people said about Memphis, right? And I have, you know, pretty much the same answer about what you were saying. But the one with the news didn't hit me well at all. You know what I mean? Especially, I ain't going to get too deep in the weeds, but the news didn't hit me too well at all, man, when I saw people from the news saying it. But I talked to, you know, if you go back and watch my interview I did with Mayor Young, when he was talking about that, there's something that's not exclusive to Memphis. That's something that's just the nature of people, man. And you have so much other undertones to things, whether it be political, whether it be whatever, man, or hate or whatever, where people just kind of let that kind of stuff breed and fester, which is kind of an unfortunate, you know, sign of society today. But it is unfortunate that somebody who's, like you said, a young 20-year-old man, comes to the city. He's like, man, there's nothing. He's basically saying there's nothing about this city that I see that's, you know, that garners the kind of negativity that the city gets. And, you know, you'll have people say, oh, yes, that's easy to say when you're riding around with security. Yeah, man, he's riding with security. But like I said, a lady walked up to his car with a to-go box and handed it to him. You know what I mean? That could have very well been anything else, you know what I mean? And Memphis is a city that's full of love. It's full of culture. It's full of people who, you know, like I said, are grinders, are hungry people, all those type of things. And I think he picked up on that type of love. And I think when he's done doing this countrywide tour, that he will say that Memphis was one of the best places he went to. And I just wish we, as Memphians, felt the same way about the place that we live and raise our kids and go to sleep at night and all these type of things. But like I said, that's not – a lot of that is – just quote-unquote basic negativity, and some of that is just political BS and just hatred, racism, whatever you want to look into. But, yeah, man, me personally, I just worry about how I see the city and how I want to shine light on positive things and be a positive light in the city. And I just kind of – I'm at the point now, man, I just let people feel how they feel, and I don't even really care about it anymore.
They got them to the right place with Cozy Corner. Somebody – and it looked like many people had that in the chat with that he didn't, you know, do some – Cozy Corner, right place to go. That's one of your spots, isn't it, son?
Oh, yeah. Put me down for the two rib, two mm-hmm. wings. Hey, you might have just suggested where I go eat after I wrap this thing up right now. But I got to do my show today at 1. Shout out. Thanks for giving me a shout out for that, too, man.
1,000%.
For the first time ever, man, I'll tell people who are listening to Jason and John's show, you don't have to watch the show live. Come check me out as soon as Jason and John goes off.
You're
check
a good
me
man.
Out. Yeah, come check That's me out at 2 p.m. I run from 1 to 2, but you can watch the replay. It's a podcast, so you can watch it any time of day that you want to check that out on Bluff City Media Network, Anthony Sane Show. Check that joint out, man. We'll definitely be talking about the iShow Speed situation as well on the show today.
We're talking to Anthony Sane. Catch him on his show at any time. We support Anthony at all times. One of the things that Ja was asked, and this, it was a very brief, you know, it was a very brief exchange about the actual season, but he seemed to be, I don't remember exactly what the term was, but we'll be smooth or something like that. It seemed like, you know, Ja, as excited as he could be without like getting into it. Do you think Ja is excited about his season?
Yeah, I think he is, man. And I hate to be petty saying, man. You know, no, I don't hate to be petty saying. Let me not say that. But I didn't particularly come here to be petty saying today. But I think Ja was really in favor of moving on from Taylor Jenkins and is in favor of Coach Ichilo's system. I think that Ja is down for that. I think I've heard from different people I've talked to that Ja really is excited about his role with the team this year. And he was not a fan of his role last year with the team at all, or the system they were running and not using Zach Edey for screens and all those type of things. I don't think he was a fan of any of that. And I think that I think Ja realizes that if he's given that green light to kind of let Ja be Ja, I think you're going to see a version of him that does resemble Ja that we saw a few years ago when he was, you know, an all NBA, you know, all-star starter type guy. So I'm excited for all that, man. Ja's energy is just really good right now, and it's been that way the entire offseason. We haven't seen any crazy social media posts from him. Nothing. This has just been all smiles, all happiness, all good stuff from Ja. And like we say, happy Ja is a scary Ja. So, yeah, sign me up for all that.
Does Adam Silver have a responsibility to come down hard on Ballmer and the Clippers and what that looks like? I mean, forget fine. That's got to be draft picks if we're talking, you know, sort of, you know, some, it being other than a slap on the wrist. Is the responsibility on his part, if it is proven? All of Pablo Torre's reporting seems to be pouring directly to it. Seems to be getting harder and harder.
Oh, it's going down. There's no way. There's no way that that's not true. Like, there's no way that that didn't happen. Like, they strictly circumvented the NBA salary cap. The all-powerful, all-fearful NBA salary cap that has every team in NBA in shambles. They circumvented that and did something totally backdoor, man. I ain't gonna lie. Like, this is wild, bro. Like this is, as far as like unprecedented, like scandalous things that teams have done in the NBA, this is up there, man. And it's like we're in such a instant gratification time where there's so many things that are gonna flood your news feed. Like yesterday was 9/11, and I don't remember seeing anything even talking about 9/11. Like it's just so much happening, so much in our faces at one time that we're kind of smoothing over how big of a scandal this is in the NBA, man. Like, the Clippers literally cheated the system. You know what I mean? I think this is big. This is big, like, you know, the New England Patriots and stealing signs and the base. I mean, you know, recording stuff and baseball stealing signs. I think this is a really big deal, bro. But the thing is, I've been talking about this for the last week or so on my show, is I do not know what this punishment could look like. Like, I really don't know what you do. We've thrown out ideas like, you know, do you do, you know, take their draft picks for a certain amount of years? Do you freeze up their ability to make any trades, any free agent signings? Me and Kenny Stubblefield, our producer, and also was saying, do you void all contracts and make guys like free agent eligible? Like, if they want to leave the Clippers, they can leave. Like, I don't know, bro. Like, I don't know what you do to this team. I saw an article in Yahoo Sports today where it talked about should they even be allowed to have the All-Star game? You know what I mean? I don't know. I really know how you punish them. And then another question is Kawhi Leonard himself exempt from punishment? Do you suspend him at a certain amount of games? I don't think he had an agent during this time. So I don't know, man. It seems like we're about to see something unprecedented. It has to be severe. Yeah. But what does severe look like? Is it draft picks? Do you say they're not playoff eligible? I mean, what do you do, bro? Like, what do you do to really make them feel this, especially when you're talking about a billionaire owner? Like, how do you really make them feel this?
It's a great question.
How do you make it seem like they're not getting away with this? Because, like, it seems like anything you do to them, they're getting away with it. They're going to play a season, and they're going to be a good team.
Well,
you know what I mean? So,
and then you do that, and it invites every other owner to try to pull off the same thing. That goes back to your point to be severe.
Yeah.
You have to put your foot down and set a precedent that this can't take place going forward. Otherwise, you lose control of your league. Why wouldn't another owner say, I can do this too?
Yeah, man. I don't really know how to remedy this, bro. I don't know how you deal with what they did, because it's so wild, man. And it's like, this ain't Joe Smith, man. This ain't Joe Smith from a few years ago. You're talking about a guy who was
–
you know, people saying was the best player in the league by some people, fresh off an NBA championship, left Toronto, which probably should have raised some red flags, and how he won a championship with their team, then got up and left. It probably should have raised more red flags than what it did. But it's crazy, man. I have no clue how this is going to be handled, but I am really paying attention to this, man, how to handle this whole thing with the Clippers. I don't know what they do, but I know something has to be done.
Adam Silver had some interesting comments this week. In regards to the media deal and how much fans are going to have to pay to watch, and his suggestions for if they aren't going to spend the money to get the streaming services that they can watch on Instagram and TikTok and watch highlights. What do you make of his suggestion there?
Man, I think that his suggestion was insane. I think it was crazy to say, and I want to put that out there first. I think it was very insensitive what he said, because if people are concerned, especially the highlight part, and I talked about this on my show the other day too, about how a lot of people don't know this. The NBA gets at least 50% of the income, of the revenue, from social media people, YouTube, whatever, content creators who use NBA stuff, who play highlights, because you're using those highlights, you have to have, the NBA has to give you permission. The NBA off top gets 50% of everything you make. So these big-time content creators who are having millions of people watching their stuff, the NBA is getting half of their revenue. That's something a lot of people don't even realize is even a thing. They get half of it. And also this other organization that is backed by the NBA, called NBA Playmakers, they also get two-thirds of the 50% that you get. So basically, as a content creator, they only make 15 cents on the dollar for every dollar they make on social media if they're using NBA stuff. So that makes it super insensitive to think about what he said. He said, well, you can go watch the highlights because NBA is making money off of that too. But I will say this. I kind of call BS on people who are outraged about this, because, like, not to be insensitive to anyone, but I'm just going to speak for me. Now, y'all know I'm the bootleg king. I don't pay for none of this crap. Y'all know that, right?
Yes.
Like, even me, I've got Amazon. Like, I use Amazon weekly, right? So some Amazon package is coming to my house every week. So because of that, when I saw, games are coming to Amazon, I can watch that. I don't have to watch NBC games on the antenna. I don't have to pay for cable. I can watch NBC games on Amazon. So I was happy about it, right? Peacock, I got Peacock too, right? So I watch other stuff on Peacock. I had WWE I was watching on there, Bel Air. I watch stuff on Peacock. So, hey, that's cool to me, right? I have all these apps already, bro. So I'm like, okay, now the NBA is coming to apps I already have. And I'm like, okay, now 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I had to like pay $300 a month for cable just to watch ESPN or to watch whatever. I'm not getting that ESPN app because I don't have no purpose really for that. And me personally, I'm already paying $20 a month for FanDuel to watch the Grizzlies. And everybody else, hey, I'll just watch the highlights, just to be honest with you. But with that being said, I don't think there's a – I just think it's fake outrage, bro. Because, like, man, we've got these apps. Like, we already have this stuff. Now, the NBA was like, hey, you got to pay $200 a month for the NBA app to watch every game. I'm like, okay, that would suck. But I don't understand the actual outrage of it. And like I said, if I'm wrong – like I said on my show, if I'm wrong, let me know what you guys think. Because I'm also not going to include internet in that either. Because, like, bro, you've got internet. Like, you got to have internet anyway, whether you're watching TV on it or not. So I'm not including that in the expense. But this is watching NBA games this way. To me personally, it's cheaper than anything I would have had to do 10 years ago. So I don't really understand where the outrage is coming from. Only thing I'm outraged about is that it's just too many channels. It's too many. I miss the days when it was, you know, TNT, Fox Sports South, and ESPN. That was it. But now it's like so many different. You got to find out where is this game at on national TV today, as opposed to, you know, it's on TNT or you know it's on ESPN. But that's the only issue I have. But it still was a super insensitive thing to say. I don't want people to get lost in that.
I used to be a Chicago Bulls fan. I had to leave because it's a mess. Will they ever be good again? Is the question that I want to ask you. If we're talking about building around Giddey, Kobe White, and Matas Bezelis. I heard Gabe refer to him the other day as a poverty franchise. And while at first I fought back looking at my six rings, these rings have a lot of dust on them and they haven't done it and don't seem motivated to do anything.
Yeah. That's why, man, like when I hear people talk about small market this, small market that, I don't want to hear none of that, bro. Why is Chicago terrible? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
mess.
Why the Knicks just now good? Like, I don't want to hear this small market stuff. And all the stars are going to go to the small market. Why they ain't going to Chicago? Atlanta's a big market, bro. Like, why are they, like, stars aren't going to the Knicks. Like, the Knicks made a whole lot of trades, gave up a lot of draft assets, and they built a team that way. But, like, nah, man. Like, why aren't guys clamoring to go to the Lakers? Why does the Clippers have to cheat to get Kawhi Leonard? You know what I mean? Like, you got to have a smart front office, bro. You have to have a competent front office to build a team these days. Like, all that stuff is over, man. And, like, teams like Chicago, they're not really willing to really muck it up and just get and have a bad year. Just they're trying to stay presentable, trying to chase these ghosts of when Jordan was here. Like, those days are over, man. Just rebuild this thing and hope you can get your Michael Jordan, your next Michael Jordan or whatever. Because what they're doing now, this ain't it, bro. This ain't it. I wouldn't have paid any of them dudes a free agency, man.
I was gonna say I don't like any of these guys, man.
Yeah,
any
of them. Like, they're not. Yeah, they ain't that level.
Who's the best,
man,
out of them, John? Who's the? If I asked y'all, either one of y'all, make the best case for Kobe White, Bezelis, or Giddey? Which one can I believe?
I guess I would say Bezelis has the highest upside, but I mean, it doesn't mean he's ever going to reach it.
They're talking about
even if you go back to when they had DeRozan and LaVine and them, right?
Oh yeah, that was the.
You're not going to build a team by just finding guys in the middle of their career and putting them on your team, bro. Yep. You're not. That was ugly. That's still waiting to see about that with the Knicks to see what they're going to be. But that's just not how typically the championship teams are built in today's NBA. When I say today's NBA, man, I'm talking about in the last 25 years. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how teams are built, man. You gotta nail guys in the draft. You gotta have good young players that develop, build chemistry, build camaraderie. Like, you have to continuity, all that. You have to have those things to build a championship, man. And what Chicago is trying to do, that ain't it, man. Your young players just ain't good enough. Like,
you mentioned the Knicks real quick. I just want to ask, are you a believer in that Mike Brown can take them to the next level, whatever that is, that level past
him?
That's
why I really think they're messing up. I really think they're doing too much too, man, because they went and got the guard from what's his name, bro?
Brunson.
They won Rookie of the Year. Brunson.
I'm messing with you from the press conference.
That was a joke. Hey, I got a problem with Knicks guards, so I just can't remember their names. They got him today, man. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
It was Brogdon.
Same thing. Same difference. Brogdon, Brunson, same dude. They went and got Matthew Brogdon, right?
Yes.
And then they went and got Jordan Clarkson this summer. Like, bro, y'all just doing too much.
They should have just kept Tibbs.
They should have just kept Tibbs, man. That team's gonna be good though. The Knicks are gonna be good, man. They're gonna be good for real. But that's typically not how you build championship teams, bro. It just doesn't line up with anything as far as how teams recently have built or whatever. Like, you know, you had the Pacers who went to the championship, but they went and got their young star when he was still very young. Like, they didn't typically grabbing guys in the middle of their career or trying to assemble a team grabbing guys in the middle of their prime. That's kind of hard to even make that happen, and especially where you can, you know, make it where it's sustainable. But we'll see. They're going to be really good, though, for sure.
Yeah. Sane, appreciate the time as always, brother.
Oh, for sure, man. For sure, man.
Have a great weekend, bro. Yes, sir.
All right.
It's Anthony Sane of the Anthony Sane Show. I mean, I guess I would just say the reason why y'all are where you are is because you just kind of have accepted. I mean, you haven't. Billy Donovan's still the coach, you know. I mean,
tell me about it.
You guys just kind of are cool with it.
Well, he kind of what you're saying is kind of what he's. It's like you haven't decided to completely tear it down,
right?
You've tried to stay competitive, especially that DeRozan Levine era. You tell yourself you have stars, you're building. That core was always destined for failure. Those are guys that, you know, for the most part, especially Levine, it's individual success. It's a lot of Trey Young up in there, a lot of hollow stats.
Right.
Not a winner, not somebody you build around. So you've done that too long, and it's been a total mismanagement.
Most definitely.
I mean, that franchise is, you know, dive since the glory days.
Yep.
It's just been – we don't even talk about it anymore. Folks are numb to it, and Chicago seems fine with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty crazy. But to say you're building around Giddey and Buzelis and Kobe White, ooh.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it
is – hard to get excited about that, bro.
The thing about Chicago, though
– wouldn't want to be a Bulls fan right now.
And it's a credit to them. They'll keep coming to the games.
Yeah, it ain't Cubs, but I don't imagine – I don't hear the Bulls talking about attendance issues either, to your point.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Imagine you're just still going to the game to see, you know, Mike's statue in the – in inside the arena. I mean, you're telling, you know, a lot of people just go for that. So
I mean, you were in 2024. You were number one in the league.
That's unbelievable.
You had the highest attendance in the NBA, bro. You guys suck.
I didn't know it was one.
One. Yeah, man.
You're looking at NBA.com.
I mean, it's no. I mean, you guys.
Well, whose numbers you got there?
It's ESPN.
Okay.
So you guys averaged 20,624 a game. Now, I mean,
ain't no way, dude. That place is, man, place got plenty of empty seats on most nights. Stop it. That's got to be tickets sold or something, dude.
They're
using that Tiger ticket sold count right there.
I mean, I don't know what they're doing, but, you know, that's just the information that I have.
No, we go. I mean, again, I'll take a step back. Maybe it's closer to the Cubs games than certainly I portrayed,
mm-hmm.
where you're just going to keep going even for a loser. I know when I went, there were plenty of seats. Man, that was bad. But now that was back in 19. They were still dead then.
Now, I mean, in terms of, I mean, I don't know how many does it hold? How many does your arena hold? It's got to hold a ton.
I can't imagine it holds much more than 20 or 21, John.
It holds 20,917. So 23-24, you guys averaged 20,625 a game, damn near 100% every game.
It's announced attendance.
24-25, you averaged 20,100. I know, but it's probably announced attendance for everybody, right? So you're just kind of, you know, working on.
Yeah, Grizz must be. What's theirs?
Grizz in 24-25, as of April, they averaged 16,660. That would be 1, 2, 3, 4th worst in the NBA.
Don't know. We never get their actual turnstile count.
Yeah.
That number does not come out.
Right. But again, I mean, you know, the Grizzlies averaged 16,660, right? I mean, the Timberwolves averaged 18,835 in their top 10. So 2,000 fans, you know, on average separates you from fourth worst to top 10. We're not talking about, you know, 5,000-6,000 people here. You know, I mean, and like the Heat have, they say they average 19,716 people a game. There ain't no damn way. I don't believe that.
Been to a Heat game.
I mean, I just feel like they never have that many people there. You know, it's like the reputation for the Heat's like it's not a great sports town.
Well, your answer why the Bulls aren't doing anything is right there in the attendance numbers that you pulled up.
That's exactly right. If it ever dipped to 15,000 or even 17,000, you know, you feel like some big change would happen, but. You got Bulls. Number two is Mavs. Number three is 76ers. Knicks 4. Nuggets 5th. Heat 6. Cavs 7th. Celtics 8. Pistons 9. And running out the top 10 is your Minnesota Timberwolves. By the way, Pistons sneaking in there at number 9 in the league. I don't think I would have guessed that.
Me either.
The biggest change year over year was the Pistons. They increased attendance 5% year over year. Timberwolves 4.5%. The biggest drop, it looks like, was the Sacramento Kings. They lost 5.2% of their audience from the year before. Grizzlies was actually up 0.2%. So maybe that trend will continue. I don't know. But anyway, there you have it. We'll come back. Penny Hardaway, busy guy, adding a player in September. They could make a pretty big impact. We'll talk about it when we get back. Jason and John, 90.7 FM, ESPN.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.